ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's football legend Jamie Redknapp for new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins footwear.
Imagine playing football against no defence or goalkeeper. How easy would that be? That's what it's like putting on my new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. There's nothing stopping my foot from just going in. I just step in and I'm done, with no bending down to touch my shoes. So how do Skechers Slip-ins work? It's like they have an invisible built-in shoehorn, so my foot slides into place. Then the heel pillow technology keeps my foot comfy and secure.
Find Skechers Slip-ins at a Skechers store or Skechers.co.uk.
This episode of the Long Run Podcast is sponsored by Skechers.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. There we are. That's sort of thrown me out. It's all coming at me tonight, thick and fast. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to, not Bite Size, what show are we tonight?
Long it's run. Friday today, mate. Friday.
Thanks, mate. And we are tuning live into your, what is it, phones, TVs, wherever you're.
Any gadget, really.
Watch this, or maybe you're listening to this as a podcast. So thank you very much for bringing us along on your run. Al is due on today. He was here about 3 seconds ago, but his internet just died because his PC just did a hard reboot. So Al's going to be joining us at some point tonight, which is good. So we've got Ben here with us today. Wilco's up there as well. And obviously, I am back this week. Before we do anything, just to let everybody know, we're changing what we're talking about tonight. Just to pre-warn everybody, I've decided I'm going to change it. These don't know that because I've just decided. We've got to give a shout out to Skechers. Go over to Skechers.co.uk. They're sponsoring this podcast and we thank them very much for all their support. Don't forget to use the code 40runs at Start Fitness. There's also a code, by the way, for Kendall Mint. I found this out. Hang on.
Ooh.
Yeah, if anybody wants to use this code, I forgot to mention it the other day because I was busy. I might have deleted it. Hang on. Anybody
yeah, like just talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst yourselves. I've got a code for you. Hold tight. Talk amongst yourselves. Oh, here it is. 40 runs. All that suspense.
All that suspense.
If you use code 40runs at Kendall Mint Company, you're going to get 15% anything over £15 order.
Ooh,
okay.
Nice.
Good deal. Great stuff as well.
So
good,
thanks very much to the guys at Kendall Mint. I'm hoping we can do some more stuff with them because if you didn't know, I'm a big fan. And I think I even converted Hayden. Hayden was using Kendall Mint in the London Marathon. The other day. So, right. So I think that's it. Got to give a shout out at the front end before I forget, because I will forget, and apologies to everybody. Kim's 100th park runs tomorrow in Southend. If anybody's going, I know loads of people are going there. So well done, Kim. Congratulations to you. Good luck. Hope it all goes well. So if you're not doing that, is there anybody else that needs a shout out? I've forgotten. Al's usually good at this sort of stuff.
Anybody no, we've got some, We've got a volunteering shout out, haven't we? Are we going to deal with that now?
Yeah, so volunteering wise, I need you to, if you want to volunteer at the Hackney Half, although we did really well, we sent an email out and we got loads of people for that. But if you want to email, hello@40runs.com, if you want to volunteer at the Hackney Half, and if you want to volunteer at the Leeds Marathon, also please email hello@40runs.com and we'll figure all that out. Okay.
There's also event posts on the Facebook for both of those things, for both the volunteer thing. So, you know, if you double up and let them know as well, then you won't get lost.
There you go. Okay, right. So that's the volunteer done. Lastly, if you're joining us live, get in the chat. Okay. This show works because you guys are in the chat. Although I am going to ban Gemma Pedler, who's just said Ben's on the best coach ever.
He took him out for curry as well.
What can I say? Roxbourne, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Al's back, but there he is. Al. He's back. PC's rebooted. Talk to me, Goose. Still sorting it. So Al's back. Whether we can eventually hear him or not, we don't know. I'm going to just chuck him out for a second. And then when you're ready, Al, give me a thumbs up and I'll get you back in. That was quick. Talk to me. Say something.
Say something, Al.
You're very delayed.
Just dropping back a wave.
Oh, perfect. Al. We just did all the shout outs for the volunteering, the Hackney Leeds. And we've also wished Kim good luck for 100th tomorrow. Is there anybody else that needs a shout out that I've forgotten? Because you're really good at that.
No, I think the volunteers are time specific to May, and Kim's obviously tomorrow. So, no, awesome.
Okay, cool. All right, so we've done that. And also, Al, while you was off, I've actually changed what we're talking about tonight. So I hope that's all right with you. So tonight, what I want to discuss is the mental. What's that?
So I might have spotted that halfway through.
He's so delayed. Look,
he's in a different time zone.
Yeah, he's ours. You're in it. You're so delayed with that. It's going to be quite amusing actually to discuss this because you could chip in. We'll be discussing it, and then all of a sudden, ours going to come. It's going to be brilliant. Anyway, so tonight we're talking about the mental side of coping with injury. Okay.
Oh, why is that then?
and it is an important topic. I want to talk to you, and I'll tell you why in just a bit. But we're going to break it down into a few different things. So I also want to chat to Ben, because we've got Ben on the channel, and he's back because he just, if you didn't know, ran a big PB in Manchester. So we want to talk a little bit about that as well. But I want you to, if you're watching this live, get in the comments and give tips about how you cope with the mental side of dealing with injury. I'm not talking about rehabbing. I'm not talking about going swimming. I'm not talking about sitting in a Cairo chamber or whatever they're called. I'm not talking about spending $8,000 on them boots that are ridiculous. I'm not talking about anything to do with that. What I want to talk about is the mental side, the mental health aspect of injury. Because what people don't realize, maybe, because when they're sitting there laughing at you because you just fallen to the ground and they're filming you getting in the car like my mates were doing, is that actually... But actually, what they don't realise is the injury that's happened to your mental health. And all seriousness taken out of that, what that injury actually, how that impacts that person. Because it might not be straight away. It might be in 2 or 3 weeks, depending on how long the injury is. And it's a really important topic that I wanted to discuss tonight. So we're going to do that in a bit. All right. We'll give you some tips and things about that as well. So before we do that, boys, because it's an all boys show tonight, how are we doing? Wilco, you're nearly tapering, as I guess.
I am tapering. Yeah, I've got the Leeds Marathon, which is 2 weeks on Sunday.
Okay.
And so far, going pretty well. I've been pleased with the main sort of like first 3 quarters of my training block. I've done a lot of high mileage, and so far, so good. I'm going away for a few days next week, which is a bit of a sort of like fly in the ointment, but I'm confident I'm going to be sensible and going to have a good time without going mad, and looking forward to the race. It's going pretty well.
Good. Pleased to hear it. And again, if you missed the start of the show, we're looking for more volunteers to join us at the Leeds Marathon. Please email hello@40runs.com and we'll connect you up with the person who's doing an amazing job, Dave, on coordinating that with Mel. So a big shout out to those two as well, and Paula as well, Carolyn, for sorting out all the volunteers at the 40 runs. So again, get involved there. Al, what have you been up to?
I'm a bit in between. I'm a bit kind of stuck for big races, but it's all about parkrun at the moment, if I'm honest. And I do owe Kim an apology. I won't be at Southend tomorrow because I need to get four different lations in the next 4 weeks, and then I'll be able to join the old club at Yarborough. So that'll be 100 locations in Yarborough. It's all about.
Okay, watch Yarborough if nobody's listening. So our
Yarborough, sell that sorry. To people. Yeah, it's only been in preparation since January, but it will be another of our extreme parkrun adventures. So episode 7 goes live on the 18th of May. Yes, 18th of May. Big busload of 40s, 94 people for breakfast, and anyone else that wants to join us.
94 people?
Something like that. We have been in touch with the
good
pub. They know we're coming. There's three vegetarians, so we're even going to have some vegetables.
That is good. I was getting a bit nervous about the...
No, and more importantly, the race director knows. We've been in regular contact with them, so it should be a fab day, as usual, with all our extreme parkrun nonsense. But yeah, hoping to join the Cow Club that day.
Brilliant. Okay, so that out of interest, if people want to do these sort of crazy parkrun stuff that you do, yeah. How is there... What's the app and things that...
Well, this is controversial. So I might get banned from parkrun by talking about this because HQ at the moment just seems to be anti-everything when it comes to parkrun. There's been a big backlash to some of the dropping of the stats. There's reasons for it, pro, and I'm not going to kind of waste time going into the politics of it. But, yeah, if you want to get involved, now head to your local, your most relevant app store and look for something called the 5K app. That's all it's called. But in effect, it links your parkrun code into the database and it kind of just tells you what to do in terms of whether you're chasing alphabets, whether you're doing London, which is all the London park runs, pirates, but, you know, there's loads of different challenges that basically gets you out there visiting other parkruns. So it's there to kind of promote a bit of parkrun tourism, which again is controversial. Not every run director, race director wants a horde of tourists. But if you do it properly like we do, by reaching out, offering volunteers and making sure they know we're coming, then it can be done in a fun and safe way.
Oh, you just reminded me I've got a job to do. Thanks, Al. add it to my 52 lists that I'm currently working through. If you're just joining us, by the way, we've changed the what we're talking about tonight. We will be talking about the mental side of coping with injuries. We're going to get onto that in just a bit. So if you're in the live stream, in the comments, get involved in the comments. Talk about how you deal, not with the injury, but the more mental side of things. We're going to be coming onto that. And also, if you're wondering why we're not in Facebook, it's because it's changed the way that it streams, and we're now streaming to the Facebook page, which is a little bit different. But I didn't realise that until 3 minutes before we came on air. So next time we'll give you a little bit more warning. But just to come on that point out, I've got to give. I appreciate what you're saying about with parkrun, but I do want to give them a bit of kudos. They've got some stuff that they're working on that I'm aware of. And I've got to give them a bit of kudos. When it comes out, I think, in fairness to them, they've come under the cosh a little bit the last months and stuff like that. And I'm not getting involved in that discussion. But to give them some credit, stuff that they're working on, one of the things they've got coming out, which we're involved in, and some of the other bits, in fairness to them, is good stuff. So you've got to remember that ultimately, at the end of the day, they're trying to bring people together every Saturday and getting people out of their homes. So I think it's brilliant. So if you want to go and rant and rave about parkrun, I think they're the wrong people to be ranting and raving about. Go and rant and rave about, I don't know, something else. It's much more worth your effort than people that are doing a great job. Anyway, so let's move on from that because I want to get into, and thanks again for all the comments so far. I've just seen them coming through. Make sure you keep filling us up with anything. Actually, Wilco, is there anything in there apart from hellos and that Ben's the best coach ever?
Yeah, there's a couple of bits here that we'll probably touch upon. People talking about injury stuff. Daniel Parker says, I set myself a goal for when I'm recovered after rupturing my MCL. I took time to create a running plan for getting back to where I was physically. Having a plan to focus really helped. Stephen C. 1984, he said, one tip for injured is maybe do things that you're unable to do when you're deep in training, more family time, etc. CK said, I don't cope well with being without being able to exercise when injured. I find my anxiety and my episodes of loneliness increase. I also find I increase my need to eat sugary comfort food when injured and can't exercise, which is probably the worst thing to do. So, yeah, it is plainly a big issue for a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to discuss it. There was two comments I'm just going to hit straight on the head. Dale Phillips, live on YouTube, asking about shoes, asking about a plated shoe. Come back on Monday on Bite Size. I'll sit there and I'll talk to the cows come home. There you go, Al. I did that for you. About the cows come home, about running shoes and all that sort of stuff. Join me live Monday at 8 o'clock. And Robert Hallam, I've got no idea what you're talking about in terms of posts today about 40 cheer squad. Drop us an email, hello@40rounds.com, and we'll send that on to the people that deal with that. So, but thank you very much for doing that. Hopefully that answers that. Right. So moving on, Ben, last time the viewers saw you, you were a 3:21 marathon runner. And now you're joining us as a 3:11 marathon runner. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
You must have a very good coach. Now, who is it?
Injured.
Yeah. So the time's actually irrelevant, I would say, because it's all relative to everybody. And congratulations to everybody who ran London and all the other stuff that you've been doing. What I want to dive into briefly with you, because I really want to focus on this running injury mental health thing, but what did you do in your training this time round differently?
Ooh, interesting. I think I definitely upped the mileage this time. I had a solid few weeks once we got back from Paphos of kind of 45 up to 56, 57 miles.
Yeah, because you bottled doing that 60 miler, didn't you?
Some could say I bottled it. Some could say I didn't bow to peer pressure and actually learned the word no. yeah, I did do a solid 4 or 5 weeks of high mileage. I went to Prague the weekend before Manchester and kind of got on it a little bit. So Wilco, you can drink this weekend. You'll still get a PB. It's fine.
just everyday runner advice.
But for me, this was probably my best taper. So I did Prague half this Saturday before, like the week out from Manchester. And then in that week I ran once, and then the shakeout run that we did on the Saturday, nice, steady, chatty. I was the turning point. So I went out in the front and then came back at the end. So my legs felt surprisingly fresh. Normally, I think taper's the weirdest thing, because when I started Prague, my legs were so heavy and I was just like, oh my God. But yeah, for Manchester in the morning, felt fresh as anything. Maybe it was you wandering around Pizza Express without any shoes on.
You got any evidence of that?
I can post it if you want. I still have the pictures. But yeah, I think from a training perspective, I was using this as a go through block for Berlin. So there was no pressure on this until 10 minutes before we started the shakeout run, and you did your usual.
I've had a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to get you wouldn't have seen the video, and let's not spoil it, but there's a video that comes out on Sunday. Watch that and it will explain how Ben ended up running a PB on Sunday. I think that's I totally forgot that's in the video. And it's a good plug for the video on Sunday. This Sunday is the sort of Manchester weekend, which has got the shakeout run. And that's already been out, that video, hasn't it? Or is it London this weekend? I think the Manchester one's already been out.
It's your thing, mate. You tell us.
All right, to be honest with you, Wilco, you're lucky I'm here. that's already out. So we can tell that. So basically, long story short, on the Saturday, I told him and Chris, I gave him full permission to send it, which basically just go hard or go home sort of thing in the marathon, because his training had been so good. His mileage had been perfect. Set it up in terms of the taper well, slight adjustment to the taper in terms of the length of it, but overall the peak mileage was consistent. He ran a great half marathon leading up to it. It wasn't huge effort, but it was an uncomfortable effort, but it wasn't a leg sapping one. So that was good aerobically. That got him in a good place and but confident. And then, yeah, so that I saw everything that I needed to see standing there as a coach to turn around and say, you know what? You've ticked all the boxes. Your fueling's been on point. You did a lot of goal pace work in the longer runs. We really stuck that in and pushed you on some of those ones. So like dropping it even for Ben's paces. So we would drop it from 8 minute miles or, you know, for me, that for a goal pace, he would be running at like 6.5 minute miles on the last like sort of 3 mile lap. So he really went at it as well. And that was at the end of like an 18 mile run, 20 mile run. So that sort of stuff really helped him. So yeah. Again, if you're looking to do half marathons, marathons, whatever, you know, or even 10 Ks, you know, try and load in a fair amount of that target pace in which you want to run on some of those longer efforts is key. And I think that's why I had the confidence to tell him to go and chuck the kitchen sink at it, basically.
I mean, that was after at the shakeout run telling everyone I was going sub three.
Yeah, oh, by the way, yeah, there was that. I told everyone to wish him luck at his sub three. But yeah, so that was that. So yes, in terms of, and then we'll move on. How have you recovered from that? Because obviously that's a high effort.
So I was recovering well. I didn't really run much the week after I went out on the Friday. And then I was away last weekend at a stag do. All my stories involved.
Is that the one where you were singing up on a chair?
What, where I fell off the chair? Yeah, yeah. Basically. So last weekend, yes, sadly, I missed London because I was out.
You didn't come to see all your mates, right?
I didn't, sad. But yeah. I sent plenty of messages as I'd got. But yeah, Saturday night, I fell backwards off a stool and landed right on my coccyx.
Easy. Oh, very so, scientific. Yes,
very scientific. So this week's been really frustrating because I've wanted to go out running and just I've managed to get to the gym, but it's when I move it has been quite painful as I've shared with people. And yeah, so I've been out for a 5 miler last week and this week, and hoping that I can start ramping up the mileage because I'm itching to get back out there now. But recovery wise legs were sore for a few days, but kind of got back into the gym, stretching, taking up my yoga again. So
okay. Al, what's your sort of tips, like where people may have like done, you know, marathon, half marathon, whatever, and they may have taken a bit of a downturn? What would you recommend they do, like sort of now that sort of recovery phase, the first part of that recovery phase is over? What would you recommend them do now?
I think it's about getting back into a rhythm, whatever that rhythm is for you, whether you're a 3-time-a-week runner, maybe even a 6-times-a-week runner, but it's just build it up slowly. You know, Ben will have put himself through a huge amount of physical strain, may not be feeling it even now, but if he was to try and go out and put a real hard effort in, it's not that you couldn't do it, it's the risk of injury. So it's that slowly and steady will just reduce that risk of injury, I'd argue. Can be mentally frustrating if you feel good, but you know, we're in this for the long game, aren't we? There's always another race, there's always another training block, and you want to be able to start that next training block as good as you can be and not kind of recovering from lots of little niggles. So there you go, kind of.
But then you also have to next topic. You also have to reflect on a job well done. You know, you don't have to go tear arsing about for the weeks afterwards because, you know, you had such a good block. You know, you've got to have time to sort of like reflect on it as well. And, you know, and I'm undoubtedly, you know, even though it was an extremely successful run for you, there'll be things that you've learned. And it does bring it brings in a lot of big targets now, doesn't it? That are very realistic that, you know, you can think about those little things that can tip you the edge and get you on the start line at Boston, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, the difference in, say, Chicago when I did the 3:21 and this one that I did 3:11, there was more there this time. And you'll have seen for, you know, kind of with the video and the like, and a massive shout out to everyone who was supporting there, all the 4Ds who came up. That was just amazing to see so many people on course. And I was doing all the things that you shouldn't do in a marathon of weaving, cheering, you know, kind of seeing someone coming the other way. And we both kind of cut across and high-fived and, you know, so using up some of that energy that I kind of had. So when I hit 22 miles and I was on pace for probably just under 3:10, and those last 4 miles, I have to say, were probably the hardest 4 miles of a marathon I've ever done. And saw the 500 meters to go, probably even with 100 meters to go, and I saw someone waiting at the finish line, and I was just like, I think I saw Gary's comment of where I smashed it, then said I hate you. I genuinely did. I crossed that finish line, and you'll see I just collapsed onto Chris, because I was just like, my feet were like cement for the last 2 miles. And that was, for me, brilliant from a mental perspective. That was the challenge for those last 4 miles.
But we also have to remember that 53 weeks ago, you hadn't done a marathon.
That is very true.
That is what's really, I was thinking about this the other day when you were, you know, you were smashing it out. And I was at London, I was at the cheer station, all that. And I thought, last year I was watching Ben and we met in the pub and he'd done his, it was his first marathon. And look how much you've done in the last 53 weeks. It's amazing.
You're welcome.
Well,
sorry, did I say that? I thought I was muted. I thought I was muted. But no, you've got to remember, Ben, you were struggling to run under 1:45 half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's all relative, right? So everybody, we're not just focusing on the marathons. It doesn't matter where you are in that journey. Like I always say, I say it a million times, if you're consistent and you show up and you put the effort in, but you're consistent, yeah, everything will fall into place. Everything just takes care of itself. And it's a good point, actually. I just, before we move on, I want to thank again all the people who have been out at the different events, right, across the country the last few weeks, where it's been a big part of the season, supporting. Robert Hallam mentioned them earlier. All the supporters who have been out and supporting, volunteers in particular as well. I think one of the highlights always now is the time I spend with, like, Al. I think it was the second person I saw at the park at Greenwich. And it's just a gift to be able to see people, you know. When I came through at London, some of our volunteers there, you know, on the foils, and the lady who gave me my medal, oh, I thought he Bosch. I don't know if she was an absolute hero. But the support around the course, like in London, it was just like we was focusing on one cheer station. But by the time we got to the cheer station, we'd already been through about 10 of them, because it seemed like there was like all these mini cheer stations to where people have been cheering. And I think everybody in the club, the community, has felt that love across the country at all different races and events this year. There's more and more of it. So thank you to everybody who does go out there.
If I could say as well, I don't think it's just the people who are running who feel the love of the people being in the crowd. I think being part of it, you feel the love as well. I found it a really, you know, I was there on Sunday and I found it a really emotional occasion. It was great. It was so, you know, seeing everybody and really feeling part of the whole sort of like the 40 family thing. It was great. So it's not just, I think it's not just the people who are running who appreciate it. I think that you do it, you get so much out of it. It's brilliant.
Yeah. And I have to say, virtually as well, like, you know, for me, I think we said, I finished Manchester, and Chris, you said, oh, you know, there's a lot of love on the Facebook group. And it took me until the train home probably to get on there and saw that. And massive thanks to everyone that like almost cried on the train home. I love to cry. But last Sunday, driving back from, you know, up north, it took 6 hours. And I was literally on my phone the entire way, checking on everyone who was running, you know, sending out messages and stuff like
not
that.
Not while driving.
I was not driving the minibus. I'm not trusted to drive a minibus. Come on now.
Minibus.
But, yeah, exactly. But just that, even so, not being there, but seeing it through the Facebook group, through Instagram and stuff is amazing as well. And you feel that. And yeah, it looked amazing last week as well.
Yeah, that was wild. Al, what was it like volunteering at London?
Like Wilco says, it is really emotional. The beauty of being on Bagdrop at Blackheath is you do get to see it build. So you get there at 7 a.m. and, you know, there's just a few of us in our marshal uniforms, and then slowly for the next 2 to 3 hours, you just see the crowd of runners build, and you start to get a sense that you are still part of something pretty special. You know, and then being able to duck behind the baggage lorries and see the elites warm up, which is just another level altogether. And then you get that half hour of absolute madness when everyone's on their kind of 100% emotional energy and they're looking to fire bags at you from all over. And you kind of know you're just doing your little bit. And if it helps to have a little comforting word, and I spoke to a fair few Fordies when it wasn't crazy, you kind of go, yeah, it's not a lot, but if it helps them get to the start line in a good condition and feeling ready for it, you know, that's a job well done. And then that continues just throughout the day. Yeah, I think going to the cheer squad, the best part for me is obviously seeing all the Fordies and kind of ticking them off. But there's people next to you you don't know, and you hear them shouting out, "Mum, Mum, Dad, Dad," and you join in because you want to make sure their mum or their dad or their brother gets to see their cheer squad. So you're kind of just encouraging everyone, you know, regardless of who they are and what kit they're wearing. And that's what makes London special. You know, I think we've all run loads of different marathons and most of the majors now, but I think that charity element brings something special to London because it just spreads the love across a whole different section of the running community.
Yeah, I think, you know what, it's quite it's quite nice listening to that. When I stop and think about things, right, I'm glad it happens, not you. When I see all this other nonsense in terms of every man and his dog doing podcasts, every man and they're interviewing some, every Tom, Dick and Harry who wants to talk about because they ran the Olympics and they ran this and they ran that. But when you actually stop and listen to what Al's just talked about, right, what real people, right, volunteers, the experiences, the crowds, the charities, this is what we should be talking about. This is why what we do on here is so good and so powerful. So well done, everybody, because honestly, that makes it just annoys me when I hear this commercial stuff. Everyone's jumping on podcasts because they get ad revenue and they make money and all this sort of stuff. But you just eloquently demonstrated, Al, why we are different and why we will never change. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I nearly named some names there. That's why I was like sort of get myself into a bit of a... But anyway, we won't. Okay, right. So if you're joining late, We're changing what we're talking about this week. We're talking about the mental side of coping with injury, the mental health aspect of it. So if you're here for some how to run faster in the summer, we'll probably pick that up next week. Yeah, probably. We'll do something along those lines. Right, okay. So, Wilco, is there anything in the sort of questions chats that I need to get into before we dive into sort of the main course of
today? No, not particularly. There's a few observations about the injured story. Kim, 100 part runs Tobin is she's made a great point. When I was injured, I tried to keep involved with running, and so I volunteered a lot of part run and went along to other races and took photos. I find reading motivational running books is very good. Focusing on a goal and telling yourself that your injury will get better, that helps. It made me run slower, and I ended up getting a PB at Manchester, so a negative turned into a massive positive.
What, yeah, she did incredibly well at Manchester,
yeah. Actually. And Gary Cooper, he says, having someone in your life that runs is a massive help when dealing with injury. Boss Lady Cooper is a 10 out of 10. So if you are injured, perhaps get on a dating website and find a runner.
Don't tell that to Ben. The worst thing you've
still say. I'm
he's
still
on
trying.
Heat most of the time as it is.
Policeman.
No, see what you started. right, so look, now we're in the make-offs, what I do want to do is just sprinkle a little bit of salt on it. By saying this week, the Global Run Club crew, whatever they now call themselves, right? If you don't know what that is, it's the virtual community within 40 Runs that we set up because we appreciate that we've got a lot of solo runners that are out there, right? That may be affiliated with our running club, or they just like to do their own thing, which I totally understand. And they may not want to go to a satellite group, or they may not have one close to them. So we set up the Global Running Club. And it's basically blown out of all proportion. it's gone mental. And we actually maxed out how many people we could have in the messenger group. that's an honest truth, right? So we looked around at what we could do. We was looking at WhatsApp communities and all this sort of stuff. But WhatsApp communities, everybody's numbers on display. So it's an absolute nightmare in terms of safeguarding and things like that. So what we decided to do is create a Facebook group within the Facebook group for the Global Run Crew. I would recommend that if you are a solo runner and you want to get out on a Monday and a Wednesday, you can still go along to any of the other club sessions. But if you want to be part of that community within the community, it's based around the virtual running element of 40 Runs. Okay. The admins in there do a cracking job. Magda, Lulu, Mark do a cracking job on that. So if you want to get involved, they go a Monday and a Wednesday. They pick, there's four sessions you can choose from. You go out, get involved. It's great. It's thriving. It's gone bananas. There's people all over the world doing it now, which is just awesome. And if we had any money, we'd probably be 80,000 times bigger than it already is, because it's such a brilliant idea. I'm sure there's a well-known company out there that does a YouTube channel and podcast will probably copy that idea at some point, because it is such a genius idea. I'm surprised that no one else has thought about it. So get involved in the Global Run Crew. Go on the 40 Runs website and get involved now. Just want to give a shout, because it's gone bananas. Honestly, it's gone nuts. And give out, you're part of that, aren't you?
Yeah, and what's great about it is, although the runs are set up for Monday and Wednesday, because it is global, that Monday run starts Sunday night somewhere in the world and continues until Tuesday morning. True. And then you're back in it again. You know, wherever you started on Sunday night, you're back there Tuesday night ready for Wednesday. So it is continuous. It is bonkers. It destroys your messenger. And yeah, you kind of don't get any work done, but hey-ho.
That's the life of a global runner. Right, okay. So that was the salt. That was the, what's the sort of dressing on the
main seasoning? Course?
The seasoning. Thank you, Wilco. That's
pleasure.
What I wanted to talk about. So, I changed it up a little bit this week because if you didn't know, I'm just struggling with an injury at the moment, which I'm hoping to get resolved sooner rather than later, and. It made me think to myself, because running for me is more than just the sort of fitness side of things. Running for me is.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The mental side of things. So if you're new to 40 Runs, you've got no idea who I am. I have ADHD. I struggle with that, bipolar, all that sort of stuff that I've been diagnosed with. I'm not some TikTok Instagram star that's decided to get ADHD because it's fashionable. It's something I've had and I've lived with. Okay, but what I don't do is I don't medicate for that. I use running to give me that sort of dopamine fix, and it sort of suppresses that hyper focus that I need on stuff. Right. Now, the issues that happen is that when you get injured, that's gone. Okay. So it's like somebody switched off the light. So then you think to yourself, now what am I going to do with myself? And then what can happen, which is what's happening to me right now, is I'm in a downward spiral. Okay. So I'm in a spiral that will get out of control if I don't stop it. Okay. You staying with me, people? And that can affect a lot of people. That doesn't mean you, because necessarily somebody's got ADHD, anybody who suffers with their mental health and that side of things, it can be a real issue. And it can, because you can't run, you can't get that endorphin level up, or you get your dopamine fix or whatever you're going through, okay? It can cause a real problem, because maybe you're worried about that you're going to put all that weight back on that you did so well to get rid of because you started your running. So that's why I wanted to talk about it tonight, because, as I said, I'm in a downward spiral at the moment, but obviously I'm well aware of that I'm in a downward spiral, and I do things about that to combat so I don't go too deep, all right? So I thought we'd share some of that stuff tonight to see, you know, maybe you are on the injury bench or maybe you're listening to this and you become the injury bench to think about some of the things. So I did a bit of research today, this afternoon, because I wanted to think about this a little bit more. And there was some stuff that came up that I thought we could discuss. All right. So the first thing, and there's about four or five of these that I thought were quite interesting. And I want to get you boys involved in this as well, obviously. And that the first thing that I thought of, I wish I hadn't drunk all that, by the way. That's sporting science. Is to treat this moment, this place in time which you find yourself as a sort of gift's the wrong word, right? But basically as an opportunity. Okay. So you switch that negativity around. And again, this is really hard because I am, as I said, I am like going down the roller coaster at the moment. Okay. So it's very, very hard when you're going head first into this. But if you can slow that down and start to think of this as an opportunity or a gift to sort of switch your mindset and get sort of control of the situation so you don't crash at the bottom, that could be an interesting way to go. So are you following me, Wilco, on this?
Yeah, it's a pause, isn't it?
Mm.
So you're going to, I would imagine, you know, you can take time to sort of like reflect on where you've been. You can just in the start, you could almost have a plan of sort of like, okay, what am I short term? How am I going to deal with this in the short term, medium term, long term? And even sort of like thinking about targets and thinking about ways that, you know, you can have some sort of distraction, who you can talk to with any, I mean, I have a little bit of, as a mental health first aider at work, I have a little bit of experience on sort of like mental health things like that. Talking is always, you know, a tool in your armor that you should be using as much as possible, not bottling things up.
Yeah, we'll come on to people. That. We'll come on to that.
Definitely.
Yeah, we'll come on to that. But it's that, the way I imagine you're a pilot, right, and the plane's going down, yeah? But you've got to take action. So you can either just go straight into the mountain and I'm just going to, whatever. Or you can try and do what, what's his face? Al, what's the geezer in the Hudson? You'll know that.
Yeah, the guy who landed his
plane. What's his name?
Sully.
Al, Ben beat you to it. Sully. But Sully landed the plane.
It's like Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks decided how he was going to land that plane. And he took the action in which that there was always going to be a disaster, but it was how the disaster sort of landed. He dictated that.
But having said that, it's not an instant decision. You don't have to make a decision that a guy who's flying a plane is going to crash into a mountain. You can sort of take a bit of stock. You don't have to make the... If you make an impulsive decision, you could make the wrong one. So you can take a bit of time to think about what your options are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's hard to do.
Oh, appreciate that,
mate. If you've literally switched off the lights and you're walking about in the dark and you're just hitting your head on stuff, it's quite hard to find the door.
I mean, you know, we're diving in very deep, you know.
But that's the point.
We're in specialist territory because
we're going deep. We're
all different. You know, I'm not a particularly impulsive person. You've obviously, you know, you've got your conditions and, you know, it's a big part that you've got to manage.
Superpowers. Not conditions, superpowers. Anyway. We are going deep, by the way.
No, but you see what I mean, though.
Yeah.
People react differently. And so 100%. Maybe it is sort of like a time to, maybe your first reaction is sort of like, whoa, right, okay, I'm not going to make a big decision immediately. We're going to see how it goes. Mm. Or something like
that. Actually, that leads me on to the second thing, actually, Wilco. Brilliant. So actually, the second sort of thing I wrote about was actually to be in the moment, in the present, right? So staying hard and fixed currently right now, right? And not thinking like I did, well, that's me done. That's me out. Yeah. I'll see you later. That sort of thing. But staying, I suppose in the present, right? Is the right way to do it. Ben, in terms of, you know, keeping grounded, you know, is that something you think has helped you when you've had to come over adversity?
Yeah, I think so. I think as an individual, your natural reaction sometimes is to catastrophize and think, you know, straight away when you message me Tuesday night, you were like, that's me out for 8 weeks. And you know, it just kind of went down.
It's down got worse, that, by the way. It's got worse. Okay. Yeah.
Are we now not doing Berlin, right?
this round, but, I'm not going to come out of this room. But carry on.
But you know what I mean? It's that really important thing of, as you said, to stay grounded and stay in the moment in terms of, okay, this is it. Control. I think my advice to people always, you know, always at work, I think, is when people are kind of, you know, to Wilco's point from that mental health perspective, is control the elements that you can control. You know, if you can't control something, you know, if you expend your energy trying to, you know, you're, as you say, you're then going off on a tangent and stuff. So I think really important to stay where you can in the moment. I know it is hard because you're constantly, your mind, you're having to consciously be present, and that's hard.
Yeah. And that's a good, and then switching back to what Wilco was talking about, Al, in terms of not being sort of afraid to ask for support in terms of, so this week I've got absolutely, if you want to talk to me about my injury, I've got absolutely no interest in it. I've got zero interest. In fact, I'll probably ignore you. That's how much I don't want to talk about it. Right. So I again, at the moment in my mind, I'm laying in a bath with no water in a dark room trying to avoid people. Okay. So the worst thing you could do right now is message me every day and ask me how my leg is. Although I appreciate that's people caring, right? But that's the worst thing you could do. It's like the worst thing you could do. You might as well just come around and smack me in the face.
Well, you're only around a corner.
Anyone want your address?
But the point is that asking for support, asking for help, doesn't necessarily mean you want to talk about the injury or what you're coming up against. I think the point is staying connected on a level that works for you. Right. Mm. So whether you want to talk to, whether I ring up Al, we talk about park run, or we talk about, you know, the next trip that he's gone, whatever it is, it's something, but there's still a connection. There's still a focus. There's still something going on. And I'm not necessarily thinking about bad stuff. Al, would you agree in terms of that connection, that support?
You can't see it, but that was one of the first words I wrote down as you were doing your introduction, is that your routine has been disrupted and it will be disrupted for however long. And that will lead to disconnection because you can't see the people and you can't interact the way you've been used to for such a long time. And it is that first stage of recognising it and owning it is the first chance to build an alternative, look for that opportunity. And I think that connection is really important. It's not about being necessarily in a self-help group. I think it's more about having, you know, let's take Kim. She's a year down the line. She can bring some reflection on, she's been in that dark place. She had all those doubts about where she's going to be and how she's going to come back. And as you said, if you train consistently, you will get there. So you can look to Kim. I'm not suggesting Kim has to do it, but you can look to someone that's kind of your connection, your buddy, to go, yeah, I get where you are, Chris. You know, I get how bad it feels. But there will be a way forward. And I think the problem probably for you at the moment is there's two stages to every injury. There's kind of the physical stuff, the medical stuff, when doctors are trying to work out what they need to do and what to prescribe and to get you back. Then there's the second stage of kind of coming back and getting back to where you want. And I've had my struggles, and it's more been about mental fitness than physical fitness. And one of the things I took away in terms of that being present and trying to be mindful is train for the athlete you are now, not the athlete you was. So train for your level of fitness today and it will come back, rather than trying to chase where you were 6 weeks ago or 6 months ago, because that's the recipe for disappointment. That's the recipe for frustration. It's the recipe for more injury, probably.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's true. It's funny you say that, because I reached out to Tony Coyle about my injury, because she went through a similar thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and immediately, you know, gave really great insight and all that sort of stuff. So that's all good. And that's why I want to talk about it. Don't necessarily think this is
this is all aimed at me. Okay, this is I want to highlight this week. I'm in a different sort of place because I said these sort of things affect me in a different quite strongly. But in terms of everybody out there, if you're listening to this, it's all relative. These things, you might be sidelined because you've got some plantar or something like that, and again, that can take a niggle. That can take. You can still run and stuff, but it wears you down, right? And then that can impact your mental health without you even realizing. All of a sudden, you're in an absolute terrible mood about stuff, and you didn't realize that it's probably to do with your frustrations built around the plantar, for example, right? So, again, that's why I'll be trying to talk about it tonight. Because I don't think it is something that's spoken about much, actually. We all speak about injury prevention, what to do when you get an injury and all this sort of stuff, but you don't actually ever talk about that mental aspect of it. Like I say, you effectively, you know, so I, you know, with the calf, I tore the calf, but actually what I actually tore was my mind and my heart. Actually, that was more the impact than actually the physical pain. The physical pain was like an 8, but the impact it had up here was about 100 out of 10. Do you see what I mean? I'm sitting in the A&E department. I could give a shit about my leg. I'm thinking about the mental repercussions because I know what I get like if I am unable to run.
Which you said to me straight away before you'd even gone to A&E was, what can I do instead? What am I going to be able to do? So that was your, you know, and that's a real insight in terms of into how you're wired is very much, you know, not even interested in what I've done almost. I know I'm not going to be able to run. So what can I do instead? And I think that needs saying, right, is that that's your almost default setting, and that for, as we say, is staying present, but it's also finding something else. If that's your focus or that's your, you know, your well-being or your mental health, is finding something else that you can do to substitute in.
And that's a really good point. Actually leads to one of the things I wrote down, which is to invest in the sort of other elements of your life. Now, this might sound really anal and you're going to think, well, you probably all think I'm barking anyway, but listen to this. I now get frustrated because I can't cut the grass on Saturday. I think Ben would love this, right?
Did you ever?
The grass needs cutting, right? And I don't. And it's more frustrating. I deliberately allocate this weekend to do the gardening, right? And I can't do that this weekend. That is driving me more nuts than the fact that I can't walk properly. Yeah, that's how much frustration it is. But my point is that if I can find stuff to do and you can find stuff to do, that you can put time in that you wouldn't necessarily be able to put time in because you were out running or you were at the gym or you're doing this or doing that. That can also take away some of that mental pressure that you've got. So again, you know, I talk about my own focus and things like that. That's just the way my brain works. But if you can sort of keep yourself busy doing something else.
It sounds, mate, that it's a good time for some of your brilliant ideas.
I'm telling you now, right? I had an absolute winner on. Well, actually, it might have been even before the injury, but I've had a winner. Hayley wasn't that open minded about it, but it was. I thought it was one of my best, and it may, I'm hoping, come to light. But let's see.
Well, plan it then. Plan it properly. No, don't just sort of jump on it. You know, now's the time. No, seriously, now's the time to think. Oh, this is a good idea. Right. How can I do it? Rather than just bunging out a Facebook post saying, I've got this brilliant idea, or telling people, think about it, plan it, and make sure that it's
You're
brilliant.
Absolutely right. And I would recommend that to every single person other than anybody who has ADHD, who's now sitting there like me and in total paralysis and has got absolutely no interest in doing anything. I'm just telling you, you could give me a plan on how I'm going to win £1 million, right? And I probably wouldn't bother doing it. I've got absolutely no interest, but that's just me, right? But what you're saying is absolutely right. Put your energies into doing something else, okay? And that's the key message I wanted to give on that point. I think that's sort of to slide in, is if you can do, I don't know, paint the house or whatever you've been putting off. Ben, you was going to say something because I'm moving on to the last
point. I was just about to say it's about setting those little goals that are achievable for you so that you can tick those off. But also, were you really going to mow the grass this weekend? You said weekend last year.
Ben, you'll see it when you come out tomorrow. What I did was, because I'm a genius, when I planted the grass seed, I couldn't actually be bothered to do it properly. So I just went out and chucked a load. And what you see is in one patch, It's like the Amazon rainforest. The rest of it's like the Sahara.
Does Nick want me to mow the grass for you tomorrow? Is you that might, why I'm coming might, round?
Or I'm going to buy a sheep.
Yeah, get a sheep.
That's a brilliant idea. You could borrow Hayden. Surely he's got some on the...
Hayden's got animals in his farm that he's got on exactly. his estate. Right, last thing that I think that's on this, and this is, again, it goes back to my point, but again, it's not necessarily about me. This is just gives you a bit of an insight. But the last thing I would say that I am trying to avoid, and it's not being horrible to anyone, but I'm trying to avoid the sort of those triggers, right? The sort of the things that can... Like, so this morning, I told Nick when I cut home, and she said, you're going to do what? So this morning on the train, I was unfollowing everybody. I was leaving every single Facebook group, right? I was shutting everything down, like literally. Leaving WhatsApp groups. I've got absolutely no interest in hearing or seeing anything at the moment. Like, to the point where there's one individual on Instagram that's making me very angry.
Sorry about
it. It's not you three, by the way. And it's not Hayden, before anybody says. I love that man. He got me around London. Love the man. But my point is that you want to try and avoid those triggers. So, you know, don't necessarily go on Strava and see what your mates have been up to. I mean, it's a sensible thing to do. You know, don't necessarily keep checking certain things. Maybe being connected, like Kim said, in other ways, you know, on a physical aspect, the volunteering, the photography and going along to certain things and keeping that connection on a physical level might be a good idea instead of on that sort of easy social media thing where you can sort of retreat into your own cave and forget about everything and just, again, go and use my analogy of being in that dark room. You know, that's something that's going to add speed to the downward spiral that you could be in because of what you're going through. So I would say avoid stuff like that. Avoid those trigger points in terms of the stuff that could just tip you over the edge, like me, that I'm about to kill somebody if I see them again on Instagram. That's who now I'm followed, by the way. But yeah, Al, what do you think about that?
All I'm going to say, Chris, is I've done exactly that. You know, when I've been in those dark places, I've done exactly what you've just described. You know, unsubscribe, stop following, and it isolates you and it makes you feel good for about 10 seconds. And then you realize how hard it is to come back. And then you kind of slowly have to piece it together because you want to be back. You want those connections. That's kind of why you're in the community. That's why we do what we do. The one piece of advice I would give, and it sounds counterintuitive, but it's to start writing stuff down. Get it out of your head. You know, in terms of a tool and a technique for dealing with any anxiety, the worst place for it is up here. And if you can get it out of your head in whatever way works for you, whether that's physically writing in a journal, scribbling on your phone or whatever, getting it out of your head gives it that sense of distance from kind of where it all feels just too much. And over time, what you'll find is, like Ben said, none of that anxiety, all that worry, none of it materialized. And you can physically actually see that because you've kind of created that log of all those fears and all those anxieties. And when you try and tick them off, going, well, that didn't happen. That was better than I thought. I got to the doctors quicker. And suddenly you kind of go, yeah. It felt bad. But actually, I'm now going to give myself a huge pat on the back because I survived it. I came out of it. And, you know, if nothing else, you learn a little bit about yourself in those dark places that hopefully allows you to come back stronger mentally, if not physically, immediately.
And that's a great way to end the discussion in the terms of, and I think it's really important. And again, I'm not practicing what I'm preaching here. I'm just going to give you complete transparency on this, but it is to stay in the present, to stay focused on right now. And again, it's very easy for me to sit here and say it because I'll probably turn this off and just go and like do nothing. But if you can stay in the moment, right, and that moment's at that moment right now is the only thing that will sort of have any impact in what you're doing right now. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
that's a good message whether you're injured or not.
Yeah, I suppose so.
That's a good way to live your life. Mm. You know, that's a
place
of success.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree.
It's easier said than done.
Of course, yeah. You're not just flicking a switch, obviously.
Yeah.
But you know, if you can do that, then, you know, that's one of the pillars of having, you know, trying to improve your mental health and things like that. If you can stay in the present as much as you can.
Shall I tell you what drives me nuts? I'm going to tell you what drives me nuts, apart from that geezer on Instagram, is when people say to you, I'll take the opportunity to rest. Take the opportunity to put your feet up. that means they have that absolutely no understanding of you as a person, right, and how you're made up in terms of how you work. Oh, put your feet up. Yeah, take the opportunity to take some downtime. Take the opportunity to do this. No, I need to be active. If I'm not active, I'm not getting dopamine. If I don't have dopamine, I go out of control. I go wild, right? So you saying to me, oh, take the opportunity to rest. You need to rest up. You do too much. No, shut up. Leave me alone.
It's like right? a match.
Yeah, just leave me alone, okay? That's how I currently feel. And it's true. Sometimes you are caring, but maybe you could care in a different way.
Hmm.
So,
but you know the thing is, and I mean, the only way you conclude is that there is no magic solution. No. You have to find out for yourself, because we've all got different mental makeup. We all act differently. And I think also, you know, going on to your point, we have to bear in mind that other people have different mental.
Yes, agreed. 100%.
So consequently, what you think you would like to hear, other people might not.
And I was just about to say that, Wilco. Absolutely.
So, I mean, the best recipe that I would think, you know, the best thing that I would suggest is be sympathetic with people and be nice and be understanding, you know, and that will help.
Yeah, 100%.
Because that will help everybody, whatever sort of mental health capacity they've got for dealing with something, that if you show compassion and understanding and empathy, then it will help everybody. And don't be judgmental and don't come up with too many bloody suggestions.
It's offering support in the right way of, I'm here if you need something. Also, what do you need? Rather than take this opportunity to do that, take this to, like, you can't prescribe for everyone. It, you know, people have got to, like, to Al's point, reach out and ask for help and just be receptive when you are asked for help.
Yeah, as well, I've already switched off. I've just moved on to something else. I was just starting to look at emails. Again, I've got absolutely no interest. You're lucky I'm here tonight. I had a hand on heart. I said to my therapist earlier, I've got less than 0% of interest being on this podcast tonight. Like zero. You might have shown, some of you might have picked up on that. It's just it's hard, right? When, and it's in the scheme of things, but it's hard to, and again, just to give everybody, I'm quite confident in terms of my injury that I'll be back sooner rather than late, let's say. I've got a thing next Thursday, which I'm, and I've got to give a shout out to Carter and George, by the way, for looking after me and stuff like that. So I'm confident that I'll hopefully be back quicker than even, because I've done all the things I'm meant to do. When I say I listened to the doctor, Nick did. That's a good tip to anybody, by the way. If you do go to the hospital, right, and you have something like I have, or, you know, whatever, take somebody with you who will actually listen to what does. Because I was too busy telling him what a hero, what a legend he is, and everything like that, and getting good pictures for the gram and things like that. Nick was actually listening to what he was saying.
Yeah.
So then I got told exactly what I needed to do. And I have been listening and I have actually been doing it. Yeah, no, it's true, right? So, and that hopefully will speed up, because I've already noticed the fact that I've been doing that stuff is already having a positive impact. Like, as I said on Instagram, I lost my crutches today, which is brilliant. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I probably should have had them, but I've sacked them off because I felt like, in terms of what the geezer said. Anyway. But I had zero interest coming in on this today. And my point is, if you are feeling like that, right, make sure you do talk to somebody. It's really, really important. I'm lucky that I've got, you know, a good network around me, okay? I've got an amazing wife in there who's probably going to give me a bollocking after this for doing something, but I've got an amazing network around me and people who understand, you know, how I'm built and how I'm made, so they know the triggers to look out for. But make sure, you know, you do talk to somebody. There's plenty of people out there who you can talk to. And if you're not in the position like me, you're lucky enough where you have that network, there are charities that can help as well. You know, there's hotlines and there's things to reach out to and talk to. So make sure you do that, right? again, I do appreciate how many, I think it's underestimated how many people use running exercise to help their mental health and the positive impact that does. And if you take that away because of, I don't know, like say you've got a bit of runner's knee or your IT band, whatever, that can cause a jolt to the life that you was used to. So it's, don't be afraid to talk to anybody, okay? And that's where the 40 Runs community and club is a great network. You know, you look within that. So many of the positive stories that I saw over the weekend at London, for example, with like Sam and Adam, for example, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, there's that connection there. And that's where the club does a brilliant job. We've got welfare officers in the club that you can always talk to as well. If you're part of the club. So they're the sort of things to make sure you're not sitting there on your Todd, like I just said about sitting in a dark room in a bath on your phone, scrolling through TikTok, which is probably what I'll do after this. Make sure you do talk to somebody, okay? But yes, thank you very much for everybody for tuning in on the slightly different episode to what I promised you. But I did think it was important because, as I said, I was thinking about this today and I've not seen, you know, you've got your podcast where you can talk to Colin Jackson. And you've got your podcast and you can talk to whatever her face is, Natalie Pinkman and all this sort of stuff and these celebrities, and that's great. But what nobody really talks about, I don't think, is this side of things and these real stories. And that's why it's important that we cover them on here. And we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of banter. And we take the piss mainly out of Hayden because it's really easy to do. But it is really important that sometimes we talk about these serious things that can affect people. So thanks very much to listening and getting involved as well in the live stream. We really appreciate it. Just quick, because I've just seen the time. Wilco, what are you doing this weekend? I know what Al's doing, because he told us.
Well, yeah, we're mid-taper, so I'll do a bit of park running tomorrow, and I'll probably go out for about 13.
Where are you park running? You coming Southend?
No.
Why not?
Because I've got to go to work.
That's annoying, isn't it? Can't you sack work off, and I can tell Kim you're going to go
Well, I've got one more day, and then I've got a week. I would have loved to have come to Kim's 100th at Southend, but unfortunately, I can't, so I've got to stay local.
And isn't there a big thing in Bushy, Al, in a couple of weeks?
You could call it that, yeah. August the 24th will be Bushy 999. And yeah. August the 31st will be Bushy 1000. But more importantly, keep your eye out for a post about our August extravaganza. I'm not going to say any more. Just going to leave it hanging.
August extravaganza. Okay. Yeah. Ben's cutting my grass tomorrow. He's busy. Oh, actually, Ben, also, the cars need cleaning.
I mean, that sounds like a you problem.
That was a comment I got before I came on here.
What, from Nick?
Yeah, my car's a bit dirty.
If you got a visitor, then I will clean the cars as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm not getting into that. Right, you're okay, welcome. Team. Thanks to everybody for joining us today. Thanks for, I can't remember what I was going to say. I don't care anymore. We shall see you all at some point in the future. Maybe Monday I'm live, probably. I shall see you all then. Where's the outro? Facebook, fix it so I can put this in the group again. Stop mucking me about. I'd love to be able to tell you that person is on Instagram, but I will get absolutely killed by admin. And I think that's it. I found the outro. Where is it? There it is. Right, bye, chaps. We'll see you all later. Thanks very much, everybody.
See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.